hear and believe the good news that we are accepted, we are forgiven, we are loved. This gift we have from God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Christ, we believe in you. Help our unbelief. Amen. The Bible passages today, the first Bible passage, is the story of Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday, and this is the story of Pentecost from the book of Acts, chapter 2, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they, the disciples, were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard speaking in their native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how it is that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, converts, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is Gospel of John, chapter 7, from verse 37. John 7, 37. On that last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our Rock, our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. It's wonderful to see so many guests this morning. And to honor our guests, I prepared a short sermon. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, and every single time when we have a milestone in the church year, we need to step back, not just one step, but but two or even more. Every single time when we remember something big, something important, we need to probably ask a few important questions. And one of the first logical questions would be, I don't really know all of you and your background, and the logical question is, what is Christianity really? And for a lot of people, it is a silly question. It's an easy question. But we have a problem with the answer. So if you go to a church person who comes to church every Sunday, and you ask the question, what is Christianity after all? You please don't think we know the answer. Please don't think we know the answer just at the top of our head. So it's because for a lot of people, Christianity is a set of rules. For a lot of people, it is nothing but a set of rules. For some other people, it's Christianity is basically a kind of a teaching. Or some other people would say Christianity is a religion. And it is relatively a kind of a safe bet, calling Christianity a religion. But the question is that all? Is it nothing but rules? Is it nothing but a teaching? Is it nothing but a religion? Our church calendar is following the life of Jesus. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we celebrate the teachings of Jesus and the work of Jesus in this world, and we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we can see that in the church calendar, we call it the liturgical calendar. Because our ancestors in the faith created or built up the church calendar this way, because we wanted our lives, the church life and personal lives, revolve around the life of Jesus. The logical question, why? Why do we want our lives to revolve around the life of Jesus? And the answer is relatively simple. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. Your life is revolving around something. It can be your career. It can be your grandchildren. It can be your truck. It can be your hockey team. Your life is revolving around something. And that something has a profound effect on your life. And people, ancient people, they said, they thought, that the most profitable, the most useful, and more blessed life is the one which revolves around God. You may say, not for me, thank you. You may say, let me think. The Pentecost happened after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. But Pentecost was pointing back to centuries before, what happened in the desert when the Jewish people were wandering in the desert, and this is where I usually drag up Charlton Heston and the movie called Exodus, because that is technically the Sunday school material. The Sunday school material, not everybody remembers very vividly. But you know, that was the story of the Exodus, when Jewish people left Egypt and became a nation. A family actually transformed into a whole nation. And while the Jewish people were wandering in the desert, God helped them. And God was feeding them. God was feeding them with food and helping them with sustaining them with water. And the people remember that, and they celebrated that event, that provision of God, how God reacted to their hunger and thirst. And Jesus, in the gospel reading, is talking about hunger and thirst again. And this is a very interesting thing, because the very real, the very physical hunger and thirst one can experience in the desert, particularly if you have to walk in the desert for 40 years. In 40 years, people can get hungry. In 40 years, people can get thirsty. But God gives them provision. God helps them. So, and when we have the whole issue of physical hunger, Jesus is talking about something else, something more, something spiritual. And this is called spiritual hunger. And this sounds kind of innocent, but it is not. That is a very important issue, because we all have hungers. It's very interesting, quite recently, I love science fiction movies. I watch all of them. There is hardly any science fiction movie I haven't seen. Quite recently, there is a whole series of science fiction movies when people, humanity, can successfully beat death by putting our psyche, our inside, our hearts and minds into other bodies. Sometimes those bodies are biological bodies, sometimes those bodies are artificial bodies, but somehow replant the entire consciousness in a different person. And for some reason, we have more and more of those science fiction movies, science fiction TV series. And the logical question is, why? Why do we have more than one? Because people are interested. Because people pay money to watch them. So there is a financial reward. There is interest. And what makes us intrigued by this whole concept? And the answer is very simple: thirst for life. This whole idea of living forever, having a body which doesn't need any special care, works perfectly, and never grows old. Isn't it wonderful? Some people are smiling, some people don't. It's okay. But the point is, this is a very simple thing. It's called the thirst for life. Thirst for life. And when we have Bible studies, we have a kind of a discussion. And every once in a while, I study a little bit of a psychology, mostly counseling. I was a marriage counselor for 20 years, 25 years. And in counseling, we have stories. Even though the counselors I worked with were Christian people, But because of our daily work, we were operating alongside different lines than normal ministers. Because when you are a minister, you meet people who are very nice, and I feel obliged to behave nicely, and it's understandable. But if you're a counselor, you don't meet people who are nice, at least they don't feel nice. You meet people who says, you know, I need to talk to you because my husband cheated me, or I need to talk to you because I'm cheating my wife, or so along those lines. And that's a very, very different, it's a very different line of work. But the same concept, the same God, the same spiritual challenges, just much less pretense. So, and in counseling, we have a kind of a stories, and we have a kind of an illustrations. And one of the key stories, key illustrations, goes back to the 50s and the 60s, Las Vegas. You know Las Vegas. Whatever happens in Vegas, yeah. And it's about Elvis Presley, the king. And there were stories about Elvis, and eyewitness stories about Elvis. It's not a big story. It's a small story, but it's a big illustration. That they had special concerts for, it's a kind of a closed concerts. It was not open to anybody, just a special crowd. With a lot of food, a lot of booze, a lot of other stuff, usually white powder. And by the end of the concert, 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody was just totally, all filters gone. And people were running naked and stuff like that. So, and you know what Elvis was doing when all hell broke loose? He was sitting by the piano, playing the piano, and singing church hymns. The people who were running naked, they were kind of a scratching an itch. They were kind of treating a hunger, treating a thirst. Elvis was doing the same thing. I don't know if he was longing for his own childhood. I don't know if he was longing for God. But he was scratching an itch. He was responding to his own hunger, his own, everybody. Just some manifestation of thirst for life looked more acceptable than some others. Put it mildly. So when Jesus is talking about thirst and hunger, Jesus is not talking about physical thirst, physical hunger, but thirst for life, hunger for life. And the connection, how can we connect the two? The distant memory of Jesus talking about something you might struggle with. It's a very simple recognition that God created us all. God created us all, and God created us in a special way. God created us for a relationship himself. And there are people, not only priests and ministers, but also psychologists and psychiatrists, who have a tendency to say that all our hungers, all our thirst, and all our longings point back to a missing piece from our lives. And that missing piece is the presence of God. Is the presence of God. So, Pentecost was the time, the first Pentecost, when God came back and God became central in the life of those people. And I remember, I don't know what kind of childhood you had, but you can imagine you were a teenager, early teenage years, and you had a lot of bickering with your cousins, sisters, brothers, family. I'm not saying that this really happened, just imagine. I'm not saying that you were like that, it's just hypothetical. And one day you meet somebody nice. Early teenage years, one day you meet somebody nice. And you kind of stop bickering and fight with your sisters, brothers, and cousins. Why? Because you have, not just you have something better to do with your time than hitting your siblings, but your life has a different trajectory. Love has a transformation. If it's romantic love, it has a transforming power. If it's the love of God, it has a transforming power. And this is the transforming power of love we remember in this story through the presence of His Holy Spirit. So, Old Testament, wandering in the desert, people were hungry and thirsty and God provided. There's New Testament times and modern times where we recognize our hunger and thirst for life. And some people treat that with booze, some people with that overeating. But there is a thirst for life, and that is a legit feeling, alleged thirst, hunger, and longing. And Jesus says, I am the answer. I am the answer. Do you believe that? Would you try that? I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.